Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today. We're very excited to have you here. The topic we're going to be discussing today is going to be about when people are struggling emotionally, how they have a tendency to be a little bit more dangerous to be around. And not talking in necessarily like a physical sense, but also just in an emotional way. And how their own emotional turmoil can cause them to turn a blind eye to the emotional turmoil that they may be causing to those who are around them. Now, before we get started, if you've been enjoying the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you took some time and you gave us a review on Apple Podcast. It really helps our channel to grow and helps us to connect with new people who might benefit from hearing our podcast. All right, guys, let's dive right in. Speaking of diving right in, there's an analogy that I like to use to help people really understand how when you're struggling emotionally, that it can be dangerous for everybody around them. Now, the first job I ever had was being a lifeguard. And when I was going through lifeguard training, they warned us about people who are drowning. And they told us like, hey, listen, when somebody's drowning, you have to be really careful with them. Because when somebody's drowning, they're not going to try to drown you. But because they're in such a state of distress, they're going to do anything that they have to do to get their head up above water. And so if you swim right up to them to try to save them, even though you're a lifeguard and you have a buoy and you're coming to grab them and save them, they will, without thinking about it, grab onto your shoulder, push down to get their head up, and then on top of that, to keep their head even higher, then they will grab onto your head and then push your head down. And again, it's not that they're trying to be malicious to you, it's just that they're literally trying to not die themselves. Now, this was such an important point that when they were teaching us, like, hey, you need to try to swim around and get behind them. You cannot swim right up to their face. Now, sometimes, even though the people were drowning, they were still a little bit mobile. And so if you try to swim around behind them, they would kind of be able to move around and try to put their face towards yours still. And the danger was such that they said, if you just for some reason cannot get behind them, then the protocol was literally to let them go under, let them drown, and then get them and resuscitate them. Because the idea was, it's better that one person drowned than two people drowned. Now, if we look at how people struggle emotionally, you can see a lot of the same type of behaviors, whether they've gone through a major crisis or they're struggling with anxiety or depression. When you come up and you're trying to engage them or talk to them or maybe even help them, a lot of times they can be more emotionally aggressive or they can be very dismissive of things that you're saying, or they can just sometimes out and out just attack you verbally when all you're trying to do is help them out. Now, again, they're not necessarily doing this maliciously, but because they are struggling so much, they cannot see how their actions are affecting the people around them. They are so only focused on the pain and discomfort that they're feeling that your feelings oftentimes aren't even being calculated into what their actions are.
Yeah, and I know that you mentioned this, but it is important to know that people aren't purposely trying to pull you under and to hurt you. I mean, sometimes that does happen, but for the most part, people are just trying to survive. And so that same analogy, Tim and I were watching a show and they were talking about when people are drowning, they're going to pull you under. And one of the ladies had asked, well, why would they do that? And it was that same idea of that's just what people do. When they're in a panic, they're going to pull you under. They're trying to find anything to get themselves up, even if that means dragging you down and pulling you under. And so when we talk about it in a sense of this emotional struggle, that can kind of give us an opportunity to take a step back and recognize really what's happening and maybe not take it as personal. But even if we recognize it, we still need to make sure that we're taking measures to make sure that you aren't getting pulled under as well. And another analogy is just like on an airplane. Whenever you ride an airplane, they go through all the emergency and safety instructions. And they always say, if you're traveling with others, young kids, or someone else that needs help, make sure that you put your mask on first and that you secure it and then help others. And that makes total sense because you're not going to be of help or service to others if you can't breathe and you're struggling. Or maybe you'll be able to help one person versus if you make sure that your mask is on, you'll have enough air and you'll be okay enough to help all of your children or other people around you that need help. And I think for a lot of people that feel selfish or they feel like, well, I can't think about myself first. I want to go and help my kids. Or maybe they just jump into protection mode, right? And they're going to go and help others, or they jump into the pool and I'm just going to save this person. But it is important to make sure that you are safe, because in the long run, you will be of more help that way.
And going off of what you were just saying there, Ruth, if you are emotionally dysregulated and then you are trying to talk to somebody else who's emotionally dysregulated, who's upset, what that's going to do is it's going to bring more chaos to the situation, not less. It's not likely to solve the situation. And on top of that, if you're upset, if your partner's hurt you or you're frustrated with your kids and you haven't emotionally regulated yourself, one is you're not going to handle that situation very well. But two, the other part of this is that you probably aren't going to be able to fully articulate what you're unhappy about, or you may even have misunderstandings about what you're unhappy about. And so then you might start saying, well, I'm upset about this, that, and the other thing. And halfway through the conversation, you realize, oh, that's not really what I'm upset about. And so then you injected additional emotions into this situation. And on top of that, you got more upset as you were talking about it. You made the other person more upset as you were talking about it. But then you weren't even talking about what your real problem was. And so being able to emotionally regulate yourself is a very important thing. And I'm not trying to say that you need to solve your problems before you talk to people, but getting yourself to be in a calmer state and then understanding what is the basis of my struggle is very important before you launch into those conversations. And even as therapists, right, we have bad days, but then we're still seeing our clients. We have to learn to emotionally regulate ourselves before we jump into those sessions and start working to help other people. If we're very upset or we haven't learned how to manage our emotions in those times, then we're doing a disservice to our clients. But you're doing a disservice to yourself and to your spouse or to your kids if you're not working at taking that time to, hey, I need to regulate, I need to put the air mask on myself, I need to make sure I'm not currently drowning before I start trying to fix everything else.
Well, for sure. And I can see that playing out in a lot of different ways. Like you mentioned, when you're upset because your kids are yelling, so then you start yelling, and then everyone in the house is just kind of heightened and dysregulated versus you being able to calm yourself down before you go into the situation and then talking to them and helping them calm themselves down. Because I've definitely experienced that where the kids are frustrated and then instead of taking the time to regulate myself, I just jump into action. And instead of helping and de-escalating the situation, I escalate it even more. And I think that happens often in parenting. And I can also see it in relationships and in our own marriage. The times when I take some time to calm myself down and think through things and choosing to respond to situations rather than reacting. Maybe you say something or you do something, although that rarely happens because you're nearly perfect, Tim. But when you say something or do something, it's important for me to calm myself down, because when I react and I jump into action and I tell you something or I make facial expressions or I'm not respectful in the way that I address it, it absolutely escalates the situation. And that's not the end result that I want. Versus if I just took the time to take a breath, not react, but respond, most of the time, the outcome is significantly better.
And I think that's a part of the deal with almost all conflict. People are oftentimes very reactive in situations. And just like that drowning person is very reactive, they're not stopping to contemplate or think about what's happening. When you're talking to somebody about an uncomfortable situation, if both people are really working together to try to make it a pleasant conversation where we can both be heard and we can both be understood and each person being validated, then oftentimes these very scary or uncomfortable conversations can go very smoothly. But what that does require is a little bit of time of some regulation, even if it's just a moment where you just don't say the very first thing that pops in your head, or you don't give just a very quick, immediate response, and taking some time to be strategic. And I know the exact same thing happens to me, Ruth, is like, if ever you say something to me and I wasn't a fan of it, if I don't stop to assess real quick and I just say the first thing that comes to my mind, oftentimes it's adding a little bit of fuel to the fire. And then that conversation very easily can start spiraling, as opposed to if I just stop. And a lot of times what it is just kind of swallowing a little bit of pride to say, okay, it's worth me not just saying this thing right now because it's not going to be helpful and also is probably not true, but it would feel good probably the second I might say it. But then the immediate second after that, it would not feel good. And so many conversations boil down to just that split second decision. What are you going to do? What are you going to say in that one moment? Are you going to be a little bit strategic and try to swim around and get to the backside of the person to save them from drowning? Or are you going to swim right up to the face and now we have double the problem because now two people are drowning?
Yeah, and I can see in relationships, we've been talking about how you kind of go head on and you're just reactive and you engage. But adding fuel to the fire could also be if you immediately shut down and walk away. If that's kind of your MO and what you always do, and that just kind of ignites that fire and that upsets your partner. So maybe you're listening and you're like, well, I don't engage. And so I'm taking that break and I'm not being reactive. But sometimes you shutting down is reactive. And so even though the examples we've been giving has been to take a breath, maybe walk away or don't say anything, if typically you're doing that and you're walking away and not coming back to it in the commerce space, or you're using that and that's what really fuels that fire, then that's not necessarily healthy either. And you may need to rethink that. Maybe even just taking a breath and adding in an extra line like, hey, I'm going to take a quick break and we can come back and talk about this. Or putting your hand on them and just letting them know like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to walk away from this for a little bit, but I'm still here and we're still together and we're still okay.
And to continue on with the analogy, I think basically what you're describing there, Ruth, is the lifeguard jumping in and then seeing I can't get behind them, and then they just get out of the water and let them drown and don't go in to try to bring them back up. And so as a lifeguard, you have a duty to try to save them. You don't have the duty to drown with them, but you have the duty to try to save them. You can't just leave them to their own devices. And so if you just walk away from your partner, if they say something that gets you upset and you don't preface it with something, or you're just stonewalling them and blocking out that conversation, that is something that is absolutely not helpful at all. It makes the situation worse also. And I always like to tell people, the opposite of bad is not good. The opposite of bad is normally a different kind of bad. The good thing is normally the thing that's more the middle of the road. And so an example of this that we talk about a lot of times is there's three types of parenting style. There's permissive parenting, where you let the kids do whatever they want. There's authoritarian parenting style, which is like a drill sergeant, lots of rules and lots of control. But then the middle of the road is the healthy one, which is authoritative, which is there's rules and boundaries, but there's also freedom and love in that type of parenting style. And so when you're trying to work with somebody who's upset, or if you're upset, it's not about just diving headlong into it. And it's also not about avoiding the problem altogether, but it's about going in with strategy in mind, with a plan for a positive outcome. All right, guys. So as you go through your week, just be aware that when you are coming into a situation and somebody's emotionally dysregulated, recognizing that, hey, I want to try to help, but you also want to be strategic. But also knowing if you are emotionally dysregulated yourself, sometimes you need to take some time to work at regulating yourself so that you're not actively drowning those people who are around you, who you care about. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcast. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, You are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.